Encouragement can be a blessing, but we're going to look at the topic this morning of hell. And it's not something that we take pleasure in, the topic of hell, but it is the Word of God. We need to remind ourselves of these things. And I guess if we had a heading for the message this morning, it would be, do I really believe in hell? Do we really believe it? I fear sometimes we say that we do, but in practice we don't. Hell is a fearful topic. It is the most terrible place you could possibly imagine. And for that reason, I think sometimes it's avoided and not spoken on, not preached about because of the terribleness of hell. But if we could turn our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 7, and that'll be just where we'll start this morning. And we'll look at some passages regarding hell this morning. And sometimes I think we need to contemplate it for our own benefit. We can get a little too casual and a little cold. And we need to be reminded what we've been saved from. If we're saved this morning, what we've been saved from. But in Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read this from verse 13. So Matthew 7, verse 13. And down to verse number 23. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we can only marvel at our great salvation which we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you saved us from sin, and Lord, you saved us from hell. And Lord, it only magnifies your great love. It only magnifies your holiness. And Lord, just this morning I pray that you would challenge us, Lord, with this topic on hell. Lord, it's not a nice topic. It's not a pretty thought. But Lord, your word declares it to be a real place. And Father, I pray you'd give us grace this morning. You'd give us, Lord, a challenge, a blessing, encouragement, Lord, or even maybe a rebuke. Whatever it may be, Lord, may it be, Lord, that we would respond from our hearts. Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning who doesn't know you as their own Lord and Saviour. I pray that this morning they would see, Lord, the penalty of sin. Lord, how serious it is, and you would work in their hearts and lives. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, convict us and challenge us, we pray. May we, Lord, receive the word of God. May it fall on good ground and bring forth fruit, we pray. We give you all the glory and praise. In our Lord Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 7 is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord Jesus here in chapter 7, he's talking about a real place. Let's have a look in verse 13 where we started. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. The Lord Jesus talks about two ways here. Two ways. There is only two ways. There is the right way, there's the wrong way. You can talk to many religious people today and they will tell you that there's many ways that lead to God. Many ways that lead to heaven. Well, the Lord Jesus says there is only one way that leads to heaven. There is another way, but that way, the Bible says, leads to what? To destruction. To destruction. And this place of destruction we know as the place of hell. It is given the term hell in Scripture. The Lord Jesus preached on hell more than he preached on heaven. The Lord Jesus believed that it was a real place. And did you know that today 151,000 people will go out into eternity? 151,000 people. In the hour and a half that we will spend today in this service, or if we go longer, it'll be more, but if we spend an hour and a half here, there would be 9,474 people die and go into eternity. That's an incredible figure, isn't it? Nearly 10,000 people in the time that we will spend together will go out into eternity. And when I started reading some of these numbers, it only, I guess, highlights the severity of the judgment of God on sin, doesn't it? The Bible tells us that unless we are saved, we will spend an eternity in a devil's hell. Let's have a look in Matthew in chapter number 25. Matthew 25. As I said before, the Lord Jesus had a lot to say about hell. It is probably one of the most disloved topics by the world. The world hates the name hell. They'll use it as a cuss word and to swear by it. But as far as the existence of it, they completely deny it. It's not something that the world, those who are lost, would say they think even exists. But the Lord Jesus believed that it exists and he preached on it. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Then it says, then shall he say unto them that them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Did you know that hell was not prepared for humans? Hell was not prepared for us. The Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil. Now, the devil, we understand, was at one time he was an angelic being in heaven. And you can read in the Old Testament, the Bible gives the description of this heavenly being. And there came a point where the devil, who was also known as Lucifer, because of pride, was cast out of heaven. And the Lord Jesus says here that there will be those on the left hand, those who are not saved, who will be told to depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil. It's a prepared place, but it was prepared for the devil. Now, people who go to hell don't go there because they're bad people. People go to hell because they choose to go there. That's why people go to hell. Now, ultimately, I guess it's their sin which separates us from God for eternity. But people choose hell. And I don't know about you, but I've spoken to people, shared the gospel with them, and challenged them with their need to be saved, and they've looked me in the eye and said, I do not want to be saved. What are they doing? They're choosing hell. I remember hearing a story of a man who went to visit someone in hospital. He was on his deathbed and he had cancer. And this preacher went in to speak to this man and he went to challenge him with the gospel and said to him, man, you need to be saved. And as he was sharing the gospel with him, this man's face changed and he became all angry. He could hardly even speak because of had cancer, I think, in his lungs. And when he challenged him, he said, you need to be saved, with basically his last words. He could only gasp out, I will not be saved. And the preacher said when he was leaving the hospital, he had a phone call to say that the man had died, and they gave him the time of when he died. and it was within just minutes of him leaving the room. Now, this man's last words were, "I will not be saved." See, people choose hell. People choose hell. Now, what is hell? Is it a place where, is it just the grave? Is it just the ground? It's not just the grave, it's not just the ground. You see, people say, well, when you die, you go in the ground, and that's it, that's the end. There is nothing afterwards. And you've heard the expression used, it's just 6 foot under. Well, it's not just 6 foot under. Have a look in this verse here. It says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into what? Everlasting fire." The Bible gives us some descriptions about hell. And in this verse here, it says it is a place of everlasting fire. Now, the word everlasting simply means that. It means everlasting. It's for eternity. It's for eternity. Hell is not a halfway place. Hell is not a place where people are sent to just to suffer for a short time. No, hell is for eternity, and it is a place of everlasting fire. Let's have a look in verse number 46, same chapter. "These shall go away into everlasting punishment." It's a place of everlasting fire. It's a place of everlasting punishment. And I don't know about you, but I remember times when I was just a young boy, and probably I won't tell you the age because, probably to my shame, I got some punishment later in life than what I should have. But I remember as a young boy being told, you need to wait for your father to come home because when he gets home, he's going to deal with you for something that I'd done which was wrong. I'd been perhaps, I don't know, a smart mouth or just been disobedient, whatever it was. But I remember being told on a few occasions, more than I can remember, to go down to your room and wait for Dad to come home. And sitting on my bed, and for probably it was only, I don't know, maybe a few hours, waiting for Dad to come home to be dealt with for my sin. But how I felt, the churning on the inside, that fear, that concern for what was going to take place. Can you imagine for in hell forever, the punishment? What must be going through someone's mind, through someone's heart, to be forever in hell, knowing you're never going to get out. I mean, just the thought of being punished, the thought of being disciplined by my parents was enough to cause fear. But could you imagine a lost person in hell forever being punished? The Bible talks about some gnashing of teeth in the same chapter, but in verse number 30. It says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You know, there has to be a fair bit of pain for someone to gnash their teeth. Have you ever had enough pain where you've just had to grind your teeth just to bear the pain? Will you grit your teeth? Well, the Bible says that those in hell will have that forever. It's eternal punishment, it's eternal fire, and it's eternal pain. It's eternal pain. And I don't know about you, but I think sometimes we just kind of get a little bit complacent with this. We get a little bit casual about it. We talk about hell. We mention to people, you're going to go to hell, but is there something inside us that has a real genuine concern for that person's soul, that they're going to spend eternity in hell? The Lord Jesus, his ministry was to seek and to save that which was lost. And I believe one of the reasons was because he knew of the seriousness of hell. He knew of the seriousness of hell. And sometimes I fear that we have a desire just to see people make some decision for Christ. We just need to see people just to skip hell, whatever it is. We have no concern for their soul, their eternal, never-dying soul. Luke 16, I know this is a passage which we've often been to, but let's turn there to Luke chapter 16. And many people have denied this passage as a literal account. Many would say, well, it's just a parable. It's just a story told to scare people, and it doesn't really have a literal existence. But Luke 16, I believe, is a real story about some real people. Luke chapter 16, it says in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and being desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. The Lord Jesus says there was two men. There was a beggar named Lazarus and there was a rich man. And the Bible says they died. And the rich man woke up in hell. He closed his eyes in this life and woke up in the next. And the Bible says he lifts up his eyes being in torments. Now the Bible here talks about a place called hell, and this we believe to be Hades. It is a place where people go once they leave this life, and they will be there until they stand before God at the great white throne judgment, to be after then forever cast into the lake of fire. But the Lord Jesus says this man, this rich man, he died and was buried and in hell. There is no, it just continues. Died, buried, hell. He's in hell. Now, on the authority of God's word, I believe this man, this rich man, he's in hell right now. He's in hell this morning. He's in torments this morning. Notice some things about this man. He says, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He's in the flames of hell. And he wants some relief. Now, he's asking only for just a drop of water. You say, well, that's not very much. Surely you'd want a glass of water or a bottle of water. I believe it highlights the pain he's in. He only wants one drop. Just a single drop of water on his tongue is all he's asking for. Notice what Abraham says to him, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receives thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Something else that there'll be in hell is memories. Memories. Can you imagine being in hell forever knowing that you don't need to be there? You didn't have to go there? Could you imagine maybe someone in hell this morning who's being tormented in the flame, and remembering the time when they sat under the preaching of God's word and they had an opportunity to repent and to be saved and they said no, and they're now in hell this morning saying, if only. If the flame wasn't enough, if the punishment wasn't enough, if the fact that it was eternal wasn't enough, just the thought that forever you'll be tormented by your thoughts. You know, thoughts can torment you. I don't know about you, but there are times when I wake up at night and there'll be some thought come to my mind that it's something that's happened in the past and it torments you. Yes, it's been forgiven. Yes, I know that it's been covered under the blood, but it's still a tormenting thought. It's the thought, I wish I never did that. I wish I never saw that. I wish I never said that. Or I wish I had said that. Or I wish I had been there. But it's a tormenting thought. And Abraham says, remember back. Remember, you had your opportunity. You had your good times, but the good times are gone. Could you imagine how that rich man feels this morning? Abraham said, beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Maybe more than anything else, this would hurt more. Could you imagine the rich man in hell thinking of those who are going to be in hell soon, where he is? Maybe someone you know who's in hell. Maybe they have people still here, friends, family, and they don't want them to go to hell. Could you imagine what they would do if they could to get out of hell, to tell them, to warn them? Was it William Booth who said that if he could hang his preacher boys over hell for 5 minutes, they'd turn the world upside down? Hell's a real place. It's forever. And this rich man says, look, if I can't have the drop of water, he said, there's one thing I do want more than anything else. Send someone back to warn my five brothers so they don't come here as well. It's a serious place. It's a serious place. He says, I have five. Let he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I think Abraham's saying here, look, they've got a choice. Rich man, you chose to be here. Your five brothers will make the same choice unless they repent. Heaven's a real place as well. Heaven's a real place. I'm thankful that it's not just a dead-end street. That there's just hell. There is heaven. And the Bible says you don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. The only thing that's separating you is your sin. And the Lord Jesus said on many occasions that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came looking for sinners. Yes, your sin will keep you from heaven, but the Saviour can forgive your sin. And he's the only one who can. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A well-known verse. I asked the question to start with, do you really believe in hell? And we all would probably say, yes, we believe in hell. But if people look at our lives, the way we live our life, would they say, yes, they really believe in hell? You know, some people really believe in their football team. They really do. At this time of year, you've got the AFL Grand Final next week. You had the prelims yesterday and Friday night. What do they have there at the ground? Maybe 90,000 people. People who are there and they were cheering and hollering and getting excited about their team. And you see, the interesting thing is there's only one winner. One team loses. But I could guarantee you that both groups of supporters would be just as passionate in their support of either team. And one still loses. So you've got a 50-50 chance. And they get it pretty excited about a 50-50. You know, some people get really excited about their business. They get really excited about their holidays. And they get really excited about things which really don't mean a whole lot. Now, I'm not saying that they're sinful and that they're wicked and that, you know, if any of us are involved in any of those things, then they're rebellious. Well, I'm not saying that at all. But see, we believe that people can be saved from sin. We believe that people don't need to go to hell. In fact, we believe that the Lord Jesus is the only way. But when it comes to our endeavours, when it comes to us trying to tell people how to be saved because of how real we believe hell is, would people look at us and say, well, that person's passionate about what they believe? Would they say maybe that person really believes in hell? They really believe in eternity? There's enough evidence in their life to suggest that they, yes, what they say is what they believe. You see, oftentimes we just give lip service to, yes, we believe in hell, we believe in the resurrection, we believe in the Lord Jesus being there. We believe all those things. But when it comes to our lives showing that, how much of it is shown? Now, I can guarantee you that most probably everyone here today, if we were driving to church and we saw a car on the side of the road that had just rolled and there was people trapped inside, we'd all stop. We'd all get out and have a look to see if we could help. We'd all bend down next to the car and look up and see if we could help some. We'd do something, wouldn't we? We'd at least try. Now, we may not have the skill, we may not have all of the things we need to perhaps save the person's life if they were, you know, critical or whatever, but we'd do what we could. We'd show some concern. But how many of us, when it comes to people on their way to hell, pull up and see if we can help? We show some actual concern for that person who's on their way to hell. You see, broad is the way which leads to destruction, and many are on that road. Many are on that road. And few there be that find the narrow one, and few of the few are caring for those who are on the broad way. That's the reality, isn't it? Look, we need to be challenged by these thoughts, by the reality of hell. Because unless somebody goes to tell them, they're not going to hear. They're not going to just wake up one day saying, I'm on the way to destruction. They need somebody to warn them. They need somebody to get alongside them and say, you're headed to hell and you need the Lord. Remember the story in the Old Testament of the four lepers, and they're sitting outside the city. There's a famine going on, and the Syrians are around, surround the city, Samaria. Four lepers come to the conclusion that if they go in the city, they're going to die because there's no food there. And they decide that they're going to go to the Syrian camp to see if they can maybe find some mercy there and get some food. So they go off to the Syrian camp, and they get there and they find out that the whole Syrian army has disbanded. They've fled the camp and they've left everything behind. And these four lepers go into the tents and they just help themselves. There's as much food as you could possibly imagine. And these four lepers are sitting there and they're helping themselves, and no doubt they've never eaten like it in their entire life. And then one of the lepers turns to the group and he says these words, "We do not well. We do not well." And as I was thinking about this topic of hell and what we've been saved from, and I was just contemplating again when Nikki gave a testimony, what we've been saved from, not just here, but for eternity. And we sit around with each other and we fellowship, and fellowship is wonderful. I enjoy fellowship. We get involved in the activities that we get involved in this world. We go to work and we enjoy family time, we enjoy recreation time, and we have these incredible blessings that God has given to us. And the thought that comes to mind is this: we do not well if we just keep that to ourselves. We do not well. We have the answer for a lost and dying world found in here. And for us just to sit around and just enjoy life as a Christian and to enjoy God's blessing and enjoy the fact that one day we're going to see our Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be like him, and we're going to enjoy the blessings of heaven for eternity. To think of hell, and to sit and do nothing, we do not well. Do we really believe in hell? Well, it should be shown, shouldn't it? It should be shown. Hell's a real place. And heaven is a real place. But what are my efforts in trying to reach people for the Lord? This last week, just ask yourself the question before the Lord. Say, Lord, how desperate was I to see someone saved from hell this last week? How many minutes, how many hours, how much time did I spend in prayer for someone's soul who's lost? How many tracts did I try to give out to somebody, to different people? How many people did I try and stop and say, look, if you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity? Did you know that Jesus loves you? Or was my life spent saying, yes, I believe it, but my actions really deny it because I did nothing about it? It was a challenge to me this morning and has been a challenge to me for a little while. Hell was a real place. And unless I'm busy, unless I'm doing something, then people will go there without hearing. 9,474. It's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. How many of them, many of them, were on the Broadway? And how many of them never heard? Because nobody told them. Let's pray.